Just feel God in everything we're doing right now. He's hovering close. He's just the Bible called it brooding. Just brooding, you know. That's what the Bible said in Genesis. He was brooding, just hovering over the waters. And in the old church I was raised in, we called it basking in the presence of the Lord. We just kind of sat in the presence of God and just felt Him so strong and moving and working. And I know we got guests in the room today, and you may not be used to this. This may not be your norm or your tradition, but I promise you, this is the tradition of the Word of God, because the Bible said we're going to worship Him, we're going to praise Him, and we're going to feel Him. We're going to experience Him. He's going to answer us when we worship Him. And I'm so grateful, so very, very grateful. So once again, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you and I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, I am Pastor Darrell. I have the distinct privilege of leading this house with so many great people that serve and work hard to make the Church Covington go every week. If this is your first time here, I know I'm sitting here in a wheelchair today and not up on our stage. 7 weeks ago today, I had an accident while preaching and broke my leg in a dozen places or so. And I did it good. If I do something, I do it right. It wasn't a hairline fracture. It was a whole head of hair. And anyway, I am in the recovery process. And I'm a hybrid. I've got a walker that I use. I've got this chair that I use. But this building is way too big for me to try to navigate on a walker. And I am completely non-weight bearing on my right leg. I've got 5 more weeks before I can start putting weight on this leg. But guess what? Last week it was 6 weeks, and the week before that it was 7. I mean, time is moving, and I'm grateful and thankful, and I'm looking forward to next and getting up and making that move. But until then, I'm teaching from right here. And God is working and God is moving. So wherever you're coming from and whatever you may be coming from, just know that you are moving in the direction of God destinations. God destinations. And I'm calling you to get connected. If you're new and you just feel something kind of churning inside of you, that's not emotion, that's not good music, that's not someone who has an ability to speak well. That is the presence of the Lord, the call and drawing of the Lord. So get connected. Discover church today, small groups this week, church attendance next Sunday again. It all leads to a better life. How many believe that? It all leads to a better life. I do believe that because I've been living this life a long time, and seeing absolutely is believing. I believe it. And speaking of believing, we are starting a new series today. I don't know exactly how long this will go. It may just be the rest of the month of September. We're just kind of feeling after and following the direction of the Lord right now. And my normal preaching calendar is a little bit messed up. Everything that I had planned for August, September, November is just a little bit in flux right now. I may be in flux. God is not in flux at all. But, I get asked often, by people right here in the church and people who are growing in their call and their in training, and people who serve in ministry moments and are up speaking and wanting to learn, you know, how to speak effectively and maybe even feel a call to preach in your life. They ask me how I come up with series and messages. And the truth is, the answer, it's not always the same. It happens differently for me almost every single time. Often it's just prayer. It's talking to God. It's feeling after where we are as a church and where God is taking us and what God is wanting to do. And then there's talking to friends. I spent a number of hours last weekend with Pastor Tyler Padgett, who was preaching here last Sunday, and incredible church builder and literally a mega church in Missouri. God has blessed them so greatly. Talking to friends, I get ideas and get clips and quips, and just, you know, something is stirred in my heart. And then other times it's reading a book, or maybe it's a life event. You know, maybe it's falling down, breaking a leg. All of a sudden messages are born and series are born. And oftentimes, it's God dealing with me in concepts and big ideas, and then gracing me with the ability to break that down and to communicate that so that we can grab onto that and move forward as a people. And so oftentimes the series idea comes first, and then the message is followed. But in this series, I said all of that to say that in this series called Beyond Belief, that's what we're calling that the next few weeks, Beyond Belief, the message came first. And so I'm literally building the series around the message that I felt God speak so strong into my heart this week. And I do know what I'm going to be teaching on next week, and I want you to be in the house. I'd love for you to have your family in the house and your kids in the house. And let's talk about this concept and this idea of believing and getting beyond belief. The obvious idea around this is that believing, how important is believing to your spiritual success? I wonder today, because I'm going to ask you a few questions that I want you to answer just within yourself, or maybe write them down in your notes so that you can ponder them this week and just, you know, kind of move them around in your mind and consider them. But one of the questions I put in my own notes, does belief alone bring success? Does belief alone bring success? We know that believing is important to our spiritual success, but does belief alone bring success? And yet I meet people all the time who are not having much spiritual success. I don't say that in an unkind way. I don't say that in a condemning way, because people counsel and people talk, and people after church will, you know, hey, I'm going through this, or I'm struggling with this, or I'm just not having spiritual success in this area, or I'm just struggling in my faith. I'm struggling right now in my ability to believe. And even though they may be struggling or not having much spiritual success, I am sure they believe. Let me just give a disclaimer today, because this is not an attack on believing. I am a believer. Christians, Christ followers, we are called believers. I am a believer. And synonymous with belief is faith. And if you've been around here any amount of time, you know I am a faith preacher, and we are a faith people, and this is a faith-filled house. So we absolutely value our faith, and we value our ability to believe and what we believe in. We are believers. But I'm preaching today that there is something better than believing. It's not an attack on believing, but there is something better than believing. Let's work this word just a little bit today. Hebrews 11 and 1, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've heard that scripture many, many times if you've been in church very long. I dare say if you're brand new to the house of God, you've heard someone quote this or refer to this, talking about evidence and things that are not seen, and yet believing in those things or standing on those things. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you define the word faith, it literally is a strong belief in God. A strong belief in God, or a strongly held belief or theory. That's what faith is. I know as church people, we think about faith, and that's just automatically a spiritual term. I mean, faith is, hey, right there, we believe in God. But you have faith in a lot of things. You have faith when you're driving your car that, you know, the person beside you is not going to ram into you. You're watching all the mirrors, you're praying, you're rebuking. Sometimes you're nervous that they're coming over into your lane, but you have faith in so many things. You gotta have faith to accomplish anything in this life. I'll go as far as to tell you that if you don't believe in God, that takes faith also. Think about that for just a moment. Our belief system, and yet he goes on, Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, without believing, if you were to just interchange those words, without believing, it is impossible to please him. Ladies and gentlemen, believing is important to our spiritual success. But can I just offer today that there is something better than believing? Pastor Darrell, that's crazy. What could possibly be better than believing? Go a little further, because even Jesus said, John 8, 24, the words are read, if you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. He said, if you don't believe, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost if you don't believe that I am he, that I am the Messiah, that I am the one who can save you and forgive you and deliver you. You're going to die in your sin. I believe, and I'm not suggesting today a new doctrine. I have no intention to convince you to abandon your belief or to abandon your faith. I just think there's something better than believing. And right now you're saying, Pastor D, have you lost your mind? Because what could be better than believing? What is better than believing? Here it is, living like we believe. What is better than believing? It's living like we believe. You say, no. Here it is. The church is after that perfection thing. No way. This church ceased to be perfect the second I pulled into the parking lot today. Second I walk through the door, it's no longer perfect because I'm so far from perfect. But this idea that we have reduced living for God or being sold out or being faith-filled and living a faith-filled life, the fact that we've reduced living for God down to cute quotes on the wall or WWJD bracelets that we wear, or just a pretty cross hanging around our neck, we've missed something. We've missed something when we believe, but we do not live like we believe. James 2, 19 and 20 are powerful verses. James said, you believe there is one God. You do well. That's awesome. Believe that. That's the right thing to believe. But even the devils believe and tremble. That's the kind of company you're in as a believer. The devils believe the same thing. Demons believe the same thing that you believe. They believe it. They just don't live like they believe it. Look at somebody and tell them, be better than the devil. But do what you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. So look at it again. I want to make sure that you catch this. James 2, 19 and 20. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, faith without doing something about your faith is dead. Believing without doing something with what you believe is dead. Believing but not taking action. Believing but not taking a step. Believing but not making a move. Believing but not advancing and taking ground. Listen, faith is powerful. Jesus said, my faith can move a mountain. And he said it wouldn't even take a lot of faith. It could be faith as that of a grain of mustard, just a mustard seed size faith. He said that could move mountains. But you know what? If I never pick up a shovel or throw a rock or turn my foot towards steeper elevation, then I'm not going to see that happen, because there is something better than believing. We got to make a move. We got to take a step. We've got to do something with what we believe. Why do you think this is? It seems like there's a disconnect. Seems like there's a disconnect in how the church responds now to faith, or why we've reduced what living for God looks like, or what living a sold out life looks like, or a faith filled life. And my honest opinion, just my opinion, I'm not in the book, I'm just anointed. But my honest opinion is that the church got high on hype. The crowds excited us. But the more of them that came, they said they'd stop showing up unless we made it easier, or watered it down, or did not judge. You know what? It's not my job to judge. My job is to teach the word of God. But if the word judges you, and it will, if the word judges you, then you have a choice to make. You say, Pastor Dale, wait a minute, that's that hard preaching. No, that's not hard preaching. That's just we're not gonna water it down. Because there ought to be a difference in life in the world and life in the church. I ought to feel something different when I hear this team singing and leading us in worship than I do at the concert. I wasn't there. There's a bunch of church people that were at the Legion Field the other night, did a fuzz run. How many fuzz run runners? I know y'all got your t-shirts on. Y'all might as well go ahead and stand. Stand up. Y'all wore them t-shirts so we could brag on y'all. Stand up. Look at all of them. Fuzz running. Look, Tommy came back in just in time. Everybody look at him. Just look to your left. Look. That's what he wants. He wants to be all right. So a whole team went and ran in the annual fuzz run. This is our second year to do this. It's so cool, so fun. But Friday night, ahead of the run was a concert. So they had a tribute band to Prince. I happen to be a Prince fan. I know his life ain't all that, but I'm a fan of his music and was then, still am now, and all of that. But I said that to say I ought to feel something different when I hear this music than when I hear that music. Are you saying don't go hear that music? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not trying to merge all of those worlds and just make them as though they're all exactly the same, because it's not the same, ladies and gentlemen. The presence of God, there is something powerful and incredible and awesome and moving and life-changing about being in the presence of the Lord. What I have felt in this room today is powerful. And I say that having been in some rooms. I say that having been in some powerful places and around people that are powerful, and none of it compares to what I feel when I'm in the presence of God. But my concern is that we traded truth for emotion. We traded truth for emotion. And we started defining God by whether or not we emoted anything, whether or not we felt anything. Listen, he's God whether I feel anything or not. I'm glad I feel it. I'm glad I feel it. I'm about to say I've counseled this more than anything else, but that wouldn't be a true statement, but it is right up there, number two or number three. Of things in pastoral counseling that people have said, I just can't feel God. I don't feel God. I have never, I say it all the time, my worst day in the church is still better than my best day in the world. As hard as life has ever been, as difficult as life has ever been serving God, it is still better than the greatest day I ever had doing anything other than God. I promise you, I don't know that I've ever had, and I don't say this in a judgmental or condemning way at all. If you've been in that season, what I'm saying is if you're in a season like that, if you've ever felt anything like that, I just don't feel God, you got to do something, and you got to do something drastic, and you got to do it right now, because that is the enemy that is isolating you and lying to you and moving you and messing with your faith. It's not about emotion. I'm so thankful for what I'm privileged to feel and to experience, and them doodads when they start climbing up on top of my skin and hair standing up on the back of my head. I love feeling the presence of God and knowing that I'm in the presence of God. I don't ever get Prince and the Lord confused. I don't ever get Beyonce and the Lord confused. No. Sit down. I know who he is. I know who he is. And I'm not trading truth for emotion. I'm not trading truth for feel good. Truth is what is going to save you and I. But if we're not careful, that wild, woolly forerunner of Jesus named John Baptist, I preached about him just a couple of Sundays ago. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. This is while John was gaining disciples, followers, people who were running with him, following after him. The numbers were growing by the many, many, many. People are asking him, are you the Messiah? Or are we supposed to look for somebody else? I mean, John easily could have got caught up in the emotion of a thing. He easily could have gotten caught up in the hype of a thing. And instead of forerunning for Jesus, he could have started running against Jesus, but John knew his place. He said, wait a minute, I, at the height of my popularity, I must increase and he must decrease. Or I flipped that around, forgive me. He must increase and I must decrease. But I think if we're not careful, we start pursuing a relationship with church and not with Jesus. Then when the church lets us down, that's why I put Jesus above the church. I love them both. But nothing can happen here. No one can offend me here. No one can say the wrong thing to me here and run me out of here. That went over like a... We just growing up today a little bit. We just maturing in our faith a little bit. It's something better than believing. I don't want to just believe. I don't want to just say I believe. I want to live like I believe. I love what Paul said in Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So Paul is saying, the goal for me is resurrection. The goal for me is resurrection. And he wasn't talking about a physical resurrection, although all of them, Paul himself, you know, had been left for dead how many times, shipwrecked, lashes. Jesus took 39 lashes. That happened to Paul multiple times. He had been left for dead, but they just couldn't kill him. They just couldn't take him out. And so Paul says, wait a minute, my goal is to know him, whether that is through power or suffering. I just want to experience him. Whether I do that abased or abounding, whether I do that from the top or the bottom, I want to know him. I want to experience him. Now, I am not quite where Paul is. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. We had a great, great family in our church in Texas. On a Wednesday night, we had Wednesday night Bible study. I was teaching on a Wednesday night, and we were preparing for a church-wide fast. And I think it was starting that, you know, that weekend or that Monday, whatever it was. I was teaching on Wednesday night about fasting and talking about that. And I made the statement while teaching about fasting. I said, I do not like to fast. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that ought not be a revelation to anyone. Just look at me. I don't like to fast. But a family in the church got offended and left our church and told everybody, I'm not going to that church because our pastor does not like to fast. I mean, isn't that the point? Does anybody like fasting? I know intermittent fasting is the thing now and all of that, but I mean, the only reason you like intermittent fasting is because in a few hours, you're gonna get to reward yourself. I don't like fasting. I'm not supposed to lie. I think the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to like fasting. I don't like it. And I don't like to suffer. And I don't like to go without. And I don't like rolling in this wheelchair. I don't like any of that. I wish life could just always be on top and running and everything great and enough money in the account and health just, you know, perfect and kids behaving and marriage just all, I wish all of it just always worked. But sometimes there is struggle. And Paul said, I'm going to be mature enough to know that even when I'm struggling, I'm still getting to know him because he struggled too. Even in the pain, I'm still walking with him because he walked in pain too. I would love for it to be the power of resurrection, but sometimes it's fellowship of suffering, and I'm sharing in his death. But one way or the other, I want to experience resurrection from the dead. And it all comes down to this: do I know him? Do I know him? Remember, the devils believe, but they choose a different way. So here's another one of those questions that I wrote down. Maybe you want to write down. Is it possible that you and I believe but choose other things? Is it possible for me to believe and choose other things? Think about that. 1 John, I love 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, powerful books. He said in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, now by this, that means whatever's about to follow what he's saying. Now by this, I'm setting the marker, I'm setting the line. Now by this, we know that we know him. This is how you're going to know whether or not you know him. It's not just if I say I know him. Do you remember Jesus talking to that generation? He said, you know, there's going to be many that come to me saying, Lord, Lord, did not we do this, that, and the other in your name? And his response is, I don't know you. So by this, we know that we know him. Here it is. If we keep his commandments. Not just if we believe there are commandments. Not just if we have commandments on a courtroom wall or somewhere in an office or, you know. It only makes a difference when we keep his commandments. When we follow his commandments. Again, I'm not saying perfectly. We stumble, we trip, we mess up. But we get up and dust ourselves off and we keep moving forward into the call and the purpose that is on our life. We'll know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He goes on, verse 4, he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2, 3 and 4. So I want to believe and live like I believe. Is this too simple today? I'm talking about getting beyond belief. I want to believe and live like I believe. I don't want to just profess God. I want to produce God. I don't want to just confess Jesus. I want to be convicted to follow Jesus and to walk with Jesus. I want my life to have evidence and fruit and for my life to be obvious that I believe and am full of faith. Because there's something better than believing. Do I know him? Do you know him? What does knowing him mean? What does that look like? Just a few things I wrote down or made note of. Not a conclusive list, but just a few things. Knowing him means my heart breaks for things that break his heart. Knowing him means I forgive quickly. Rosman helping us today with ministry moment. Knowing him means I forgive quickly. So if I'm harboring and holding and doesn't mean I don't know him, but it means I need, there's an area in my life that needs some attention. Well, I'm waiting for them to apologize. Well, I got two or three I've been waiting on a long time. But thankfully, I forgave them, so whether or not they come and ask or not, it's already done. Knowing him means I have a generous heart. Not selfish. Knowing him means we care for the poor. Care for people that are in need. We want to make a difference in someone's life and help someone. Don't feed people through church cares. Cars line up every Monday, every Thursday. Knowing him means we have compassion for outcast, the different, the unique. Knowing him means I've got a hunger for his presence. Knowing him means I'm quick to share my faith. I'm closing, team, if you want to. Knowing him means I grieve over sin. Not talking about other people's sin. I'm talking about my sin. I don't want to live in that. I don't want to wallow in that. I don't want that to stay on me. Jesus, let's deal with this. I grieve over this. Knowing him means I desire to worship and pray, to spend time with him. Pastor Darrell, are you saying that believing is not enough? Let me give you a real life example. Real life possibility. If you put your faith in Jesus today, just a moment, when we pray, and you leave this church building, you leave this service, you pull out of here, God forbid you don't make it home. I believe you're going to be in the presence of Jesus immediately. But if you put your faith in Jesus and you leave this church and you make it home and you have to face Monday and you have to face Tuesday, you're going to need something better than belief. You're going to need a relationship with God. An active, real relationship with God. I meet people all the time in our community. Where do you pastor? Oh, the church. That's my church. Well, I've been there going on 6 years. I've never seen you, and you didn't even know I was the pastor. We need to talk. I'm sure they believe. They're just not doing anything with what they believe in. Can I say this? You're not in a real relationship with anyone whom you only speak to now and again. At best, they're an acquaintance. Maybe an old friend. I know we talk, we're the kind of friends that we just pick up where we left off. Don't put Jesus in the crowd of your life. Just one of your contacts that you call occasionally when you get in trouble. No, I want an active, real relationship with God. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I'm going to give you one more scripture setting because this is so powerful. Ephesians 1, 17 and 19. Come on, I'm ready. Ephesians 1. I keep asking, Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that, wait a minute, why do we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation? So that you may know Him better. So today my prayer for you is not just that you know Him better, but that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that come Monday, when life is happening, when things are coming at you, you don't see the negativity of the thing. God begins to reveal to you why things are happening in your life, why you're meeting certain people and why you're encountering certain people. Wait a minute, I thought this was a, no, wait a minute, God, so that I may know Him better. Verse 18, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order. Why do the eyes of my heart need to be enlightened? Heart is where we, you know, kind of factor all of that emotion and feelings and in my feelings. My heart is broken. All of those things we say about the heart. He said, that heart's got eyes. I want you to see this. Because your heart is the most deceitful, the Bible also says. Meaning that your emotions deceive, your feelings fail you. So he said, we're going to put glasses on the eyes of your heart in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. The riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people and His incomparably great power for us who believe. You know what? God is calling you to make a move today. What is the move, Pastor Darrell? I don't know. I don't know what's happening in your life or what specifically is working in your world. But if I say, you know what, I believe God answers prayer, then I'm going to pray. If I say, I believe God loves people, then you know what? I'm going to find someone to love. I believe God wants to bless me. Then I'm going to give. I'm not just going to believe. I'm going to do something with what I believe. I believe God forgives sin. Repent. Let Him forgive yours. Go beyond belief. make an investment in your belief and do something with it. Father, I pray for people in this house today. People who believe. People who trust and hope. People who expect. People who reach. People who have faith. We believe. But today, Lord, you're calling us to something more than just believing. Living like we believe. Walking in what we believe. Trusting in what we believe. Doing something with what we believe. Because there's something better than believing. It's living like we believe. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and there may be someone in this room right now who would say, you know what? I believe, but I've never taken a step or made that move. I know God forgives sin, but I feel like mine have piled up for so long. Today, I want to repent. I want to repent. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but if you just want to acknowledge him in the presence of the Lord, just lift your hand and say, that's me. I want you to pray with me, Pastor Daryl. I'm ready. I'm ready to be forgiven. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. I see you. Thank you. Beautiful. Pray it with me today. You don't have to use my exact words, and yet you can, but say, Jesus, I believe. But starting today, I'm going to do more than just believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to depend. I'm going to worship. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk. I'm going to follow. I'm going to believe and do those things. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for taking every sin in my life. Forgiving me and forgetting. Today I am a new person. And I'm going to live like it. I receive your gift in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate? Can we celebrate? Can we thank God? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Get beyond belief. Stand with me across the room. We're closing today. Our team is going to lead in worship for just a few moments. If you want to just linger in the presence of the Lord, if you want to come down and just spend time with Jesus, you can do that today and be strengthened and be renewed and be helped today in this house. Listen, if you're ready for baptism, we're ready to baptize you. I'd love to baptize you. Next Sunday, we'd love to see you take your next step in Jesus. Get in a small group. Make that connection. Hear me. If you prayed that prayer with us today, whether you're in the room or online, on either side of this auditorium or yes banners, grab one of these books called Following Jesus. Just a few pages you can read between now and next Sunday. It's just about next steps. What do I do now? Where do I go from here? If you'd rather get that in your inbox, text the word follow to 404-777-4701. That's on the screen. Make sure we get your email. When our system gets your email, we're going to send this book to you. It'll be there in just a couple of moments. God is good. He's helping us. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lead us, team. For from you.
For from you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
And